Hello, welcome to Crucified for Christ Ministries. I'm so happy that you're here listening. If this is your first time on this website, I just want once again to say welcome. I'm glad that you're here. If you're new to this website, there's a few things I want to mention. There is sermons on here, so you're listening to this sermon. So you can stroll down and you can find more sermons. I have more sermons on the archive. So sermons from prayer to salvation to spiritual warfare. You can clearly, probably 500 sermons on here or more. You can clearly know what I am about. I'm about the gospel. I'm not about the watered down version that is being proclaimed, especially across here in America, in majority of the churches and the evangelistic circles. I'm about the gospel, the true gospel. Let me just tell you, if you hear a gospel presentation, a gospel message, and they void the words like sin, they void the word like hell, they void the word like repentance, I can't tell you, I see these messages and it's like they're bypassing these words. Why? Because there is a watered down version of the gospel that is going around. It burdens me. It breaks my heart. And when you try to reach out and talk to someone about this, it's like Satan has their eyes blinded to the truth that is clearly written in God's word. We truly, my friend, are living in the last days, the end times. Here in America, the churches are anemic. The people that sit in the congregation do not study God's word daily, meditating it in day and night, as the psalmist told us in Psalm 1. But that's the heartbeat of this ministry, is to crucify ourselves for Christ, to live that life. Paul told us, I die daily, and we need to die daily, not just one time of event and say I'm good. No, the true Christian walk, the true walk as a disciple in this world is I die daily to myself. I am crucified to Christ. Amen. And our key, the heartbeat of this ministry, is Galatians 2:20. That is really the, if you want to sum this ministry up, is Galatians 2:20. And let me read that. I have it memorized, but problem is my memorization is I'll read different translations, so I'll blend different wording translations, although the heartbeat of the message is still the same. But let me just read it out of the KJV. 2:20 is the heartbeat of this ministry. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ live in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20 is the heartbeat of this ministry, is to live a crucified life. So if you're just hearing that and you're joining us, that's just what the heartbeat of this ministry is. I have sermons, I have devotionals. I try to put devotionals throughout the week on the devotional tab. That's devotional 2024. And you'll see another tab down there called devotional. I got probably hundreds of devotionals on here. Check them out. They're free. All is free. Check it out. If you need to contact me, there's several ways that you can contact me. First is this website. There is an email link here. If you email me, just make sure if you do email me that you put Crucified for Christ Ministry in that subject bar, that top tab. And reason I say that is if it goes to spam mail, I only check my spam maybe once a month, I won't miss your email. I'm this ministry is very small. It's me. So so I don't check my spam. I don't have an assistant. I don't have a group of people working with me. It's just me. And I also work a 40-hour suckler job. So it may take, you know, that's why I don't have time to run through my spam. Check it once a month. Probably the fastest way that you can get a hold of me is Facebook. You can private message me, but if you do, just make sure you put Crucify for Christ Ministry. If you have any biblical questions, please ask them. I'm here for you. I can add you onto my Facebook, and I have a private group there, and there you can ask me as many questions as you want throughout the day. I'll respond as much as I can. I do work a 40-hour job, and I love doing this too. Sometimes I'm physically in a church, but majority I'm here online preaching through this website, sharing content through this website as much as I can. So private message me through Facebook is the fastest way. I'm not on Instagram a lot, or X, commonly now it's called X, but used to be called Twitter. But you can reach out to me that way. And of course, some of you guys that I know, you have my personal phone number, so you can, of course, you text me and call me. So I don't normally give my phone number out to individuals unless I trust them and know them, and I know they truly want to know about Jesus Christ, because there's many out there that truly don't want to know who Jesus, the true Jesus in the Bible, is. They want a version that caters to their lifestyle, to their sin. They want a Jesus that is not the Jesus of the Bible, another gospel. So if you just joined, we're continuing this preaching and teaching sermon series in Psalms. On this preaching and teaching series, is the collectively is called Learning the Psalms. Learning the Psalms. I did create another tab here, and the reason I create another tab, and you'll see it says Learning the Psalms, is if, you know, if I'm led to preach on something different for a few weeks, you won't have a hard time when we start picking up and talking through the Psalms again, because you'll be able to go back and you'll see the intro, Psalm 1, Part 1, Psalms 2, etc. So you'll be able to go through that, and if you want to do a quick listen again, you can listen through all of them to get caught up. So that's why I've done that. I tried to teach this once before and just didn't go right, because I taught a little bit, and then the Holy Spirit led me to teach or preach on something else, and I never got back around to it. So I said, hey, I'm going to create this tab here. So when we do, and then last week I took off because my wife and I, we had an anniversary, 20 years of marriage. So last weekend I was all hers, and the weekend before that I preached on something different. But today, or this week, we're picking up on Psalm 7. So about 3 weeks ago, we looked and I taught and preached on Psalm 6. But we will be looking at Psalm 7 this week. Psalm 7, so as the Holy Spirit leads, He can move in any direction. That's what's beautiful about God's Word. When we're in tune with the Holy Spirit, we look at the Word of God, and we study God's Word, and He gives us the message, not AI, not... We are supposed to be getting from our prayer life and our devotional life, the Holy Spirit's pouring through us to write a sermon or teach on something that the Holy Spirit lays on our heart, and it all has to do with He knows who's going to listen to this. Ultimately, He knows who will come across this website. I told my wife, if anything ever happens to me, to keep this website live, because the goal is if one person hears the message and they're changed, and they truly come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and they are new in Christ, and they take this "I am crucified with Christ" with them, I mean, they I will suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. That's not being taught today. It's sad. We're lining up what we call new converts, or people that say, oh, they all receive Jesus Christ. Have you told them that they'll may one day be put in jail for their faith? Did you tell them one day they could even possibly lose their life here in America for their faith? No, you didn't tell them that. You're looking at numbers that you can boast and brag about. Let me tell you, their blood will be on your hands, and that should scare you and create a fear of God in you. If it don't, and this makes you mad, there's something strongly wrong with your heart, and God will deal with you. I promise you, He will deal with you. You may unfollow me, you may tune me out, but you will not tune out God. If today was your last day, He snuffs your life out, you will face Him. And all the things that you did in the name of Jesus Christ, but it was under another gospel, will be burned up. And I pray that you truly know Him. If not, you will be cast into utter darkness, torment for the rest of your life. Hell. So I pray that you're not doing that. I pray if you are, that you just reflect and you think about this. Part of the salvation message is talking about when we come to Christ. It will not be an easy life in this world. You just made your life a whole lot harder. But it's worth it. Because this life is so temporary. Tomorrow could be our last day on this earth. And we will spend our eternity in one of two places, heaven or hell. But the Holy Spirit, He leads and He directs. And here in Psalm 7, the main thrust, the main topic here that I want to, if you're taking notes, this is going to be the key when we walk away from this psalm that the Holy Spirit has laid on my heart to impress on your heart, is our words have impact. Our words have impact. More specifically, our words have impact, especially when we are being verbally and physically attacked by the enemy. That is the sentence that you write down. That is the thrust of this sermon, is our words have impact, especially when we are being verbally and physically attacked by the enemy. Let's read Psalm 7. In most Bibles, there will be a little subscription, a little title. A good study Bible, a good Bible will have this subscription or this title. And I'll probably slaughter this Hebrew word. Shinaka of David, which sung unto the Lord concerning the words of Cush the Benjamite. That would be the little small print above your Bible before you go into verse 1. And remember, most a good study Bible will have something of this nature. So when you're looking at Bibles, look for that. Verse 1, Psalm 7, verse 1, we'll read all the way down. O Lord my God, in Thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. Lest He tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces. While there's none to deliver, O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have reward evil unto them that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him without cause, is my enemy. Let the enemy persecute my soul, take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth. lay my honor in the dust, Shelah. Arise, O Lord, in thy anger. Lift up thyself because of the rage of my enemies. Awake for me to the judgment that has commanded. So shall the congregation of the people compass thee about for their sakes, therefore return thou on high. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, according to my integrity that it is in me. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just for the righteous. God tries the hearts and the reins. My defiance is upon God. My defense is of God, which is just. For the righteous God tread the defenses of God, which save the upright in heart. God judged the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will went his sword. He had bent his bow. He has made it ready. He had also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordained his arrows against the persecutors. Behold, he travailed with iniquity and had conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. He made a pit and dug it and is fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his head, and his violence dealing shall come down on his own path. His own pith. And I shall praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come before you, thanking for this opportunity, Lord, just akin to your word. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, you move on me as we go into this, God. I pray, Lord, that you guide me, you direct me in the words that you need me to say. Your will be done, not mine. Lord, I pray over the ones that hear this. I pray over their hearts right now, that they will receive this word that God has given me, that they will not shut up their hearts, they will not harden their hearts, they will not close their ears to the message. We pray, Lord, examination on their life, who they hang out with, who they associate with, their calling on their life. We pray that they take it seriously. We pray, Lord, that this self-examination that they need in their life, to reevaluate the path that they're on. Lord, we lift them up. God, we pray over those that may be going through things in their life. God, there's many hurting today. Many are feeling isolation, depression, anxiety, financial strain. This world's in chaos. Is because we truly have turned away from the one true living God. We truly don't want him in the real God in our life. This world has made a version of Christianity that is palatable to the mouth, but is a stink in the nostril of a holy God. And it will get worse. People trying to paint a picture that it will get better in this world. No, it will get worse, progressively worse. When it will become better is when our Lord Jesus Christ comes back for us. Be it physically, our life ends, physical death, or when Jesus splits the eastern sky and comes back for his people. It will get truly better for those that are truly his. that truly say, Jesus, I'm all yours. I'm not a part-time person, a Christian. I am a full-time. I want my life to reflect you, Lord. I want my life to reflect your holiness and your righteousness in my life, in our lives. We are supposed to walk different from this world. We live in this world, but we are separate from this world. We're supposed to seek that crucified life daily. To be like Paul and say, I die daily. We die to that flesh, which is painful. But we have many today that profess to know the name of Jesus Christ, and they're not dying to nothing. And the preachers and the evangelists and the wannabe Joe Osteens and Steve Furtick's and Clef Dollars and all these big mega preachers out there, they want to be like them, the Benny Hinn's. They want to model their ministry after them. Lord, we pray for their souls right now, that you rattle them, you shake them. If they don't heed that correction, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you dismantle their ministry. You leave them where they need to be, with the God they serve of this world, the God of their belly, Satan and his demons. If they truly don't want to turn from their wickedness and their false gospel. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. In this psalm, there is a backdrop, a situation that David is experiencing. At the very beginning of this psalm, that little subscription, I call it a subscription or transcription, it says, once again, I'm probably slaughtering this Hebrew name. I looked it up and read it and tried to pronunciate it. Still probably not pronouncing it right, is Shinanah or Shiganai of David, which he sung unto the Lord concerning the words of Cush the Benjamite. For us to be good students of God's word, we should look at this and know what this means, because this provides insight in what is going on in David's life. We need to be good students of God's word. I'm seeing that people are not truly studying God's word. They're taking passages and they're taking them out of context. And we don't need to do that. We look at here, this is clearly a psalm written by David. And David's experienced something. So when we look at it, if I ask you, what's this word, this Hebrew word, I'm probably mispronouncing Shuganah or Shinei. What does this word mean, right? Well, and studying through this and praying over it, and of course I have, you know, over 10 Bible commentaries looking at this, and when I'm collectively looking all through all of this, most of the commentaries would say this is a meditation, and then others would say this meditation was a intense emotional or crying out. And that's where I believe really this word means, is this is a meditation of David. He's in intense distress. He's having intense emotion. He's crying out to the Lord. So when you look at the Shina of David, You could say this is the crying out of David, which he sung unto the Lord. He's sitting there, he's in this tense pain, this distress, and he's singing unto the Lord. Why is he singing to the Lord? And that part says, concerning the words of Cush the Benjamite. Who is Cush? A Benjamite. Once again, looking at several commentaries, this was a Cush the Benjamite, which I believe after looking through the commentaries and praying over this, he was the one verbally attacking David. Now, this could have been, he could have been spearheading a group in doing this. This was a verbal campaign on David. And at the heart of this, Cush the Benjamite, Saul, was pushing this. He was the silent player in the background, pushing this campaign, this verbal attack on David, and this verbal attack was causing David a lot of pain. Now, I say the word Saul, or the name Saul, and most of you guys are familiar who Saul is or was. He was, at this time, the king of Israel. Not the true physical king, but the king that the people wanted. He had the looks, he had the talk, but his heart was not quite right. And most of us can recall David and Goliath, right? This giant of a man, this Goliath, who was taunting Saul, his army, and the God of Israel. And Saul, his army, they're taking Goliath's taunts, his words, speaking evil and darkness over them. Because while Goliath was an agent of Satan, Satan was using him to create fear through his words. These words engulfed the army of Saul. But here David shows up. He hears these words from this uncircumcised Philistine mocking his God, his true God. And David stood up with the power of his God. And what did he do? He corrected Goliath. Goliath, this giant, looks down on this boy, this young man. And he starts taunting David, trying to using his words to make an impact, a negative impact on David's life. And David looks with the word of life in his heart. He knew his God. As a shepherd in that field, he was quite comfortable, quite intimate with his God. In one account, through part of his testimony, is when he's in that field or in that desert, and a lion came out and a bear came out and snatched one of these little sheep. David said, "I didn't hesitate." David went. He went in the power of God, the God, the true God, the Elohim, the God that has created this world. The God who provides, God who sees, the God who has he knows the beginning to the end, the God who sees all, knows all, the God that holds our tomorrow. He knew his God, and he went and he rescued that sheep, and he killed that lion, he killed that bear, and he said, in that same power, not the power that personally David had, but the power that's living in me. He knew the power of God that was in him, and he recognized not him, but the power that was in him, and he said, "I will slay you too, Goliath." He used his words, and he spoke to Goliath, and guess what happened? One stone takes this big giant out. David walks over there with Goliath's own sword and chops his head off. The brutality of that account. People want to paint this as not graphic, but to chop somebody's head off would be very graphic. That sword would have to be very sharp. And when he sliced through the flesh and the bone, blood would have flown everywhere. He ended Goliath's words with the word, the sword. Powerful, right? Maybe you've never made that connection. I'm not preaching on that part of it, but there's a powerful connection there. That was not even in my notes. That's the Holy Spirit speaking through me to tell you our words have impact. A few scriptures that I've written down here, and you know me, I'm about scripture. You're not going to hang around me long without me having given you some scriptures. And I am not a one scripture kind of guy. There's too many churches out there. They're not preaching right. They're not teaching right. And most of the time they give you one scripture, and then it's their personal opinion left and right. I want to tell you, beware of these people in your churches preaching. They should provide more than one scripture. They should leave it providing you three or four during the sermon, especially if it's 30 minutes to an hour. We lean on God's word and not ours. They say, well, you may say, well, that ain't how they kind of teach it, and hermeneutics are not really the style of preaching. I want to tell you, I read books on preaching, and I appreciate the authors and their attempt, and I get that, and it's very important to study that stuff and understand it's applicable and it's where it needs to be, but it doesn't trump the Holy Spirit guiding you. I study on preaching. I study on a lot of theology. I study on a lot of things, but one thing I know, all my studying don't trump the Holy Spirit. When He speaks, I lean on it, and everything else goes out of the wind. It goes out because He has the final authority. But we need to cling on Scripture. And I wrote some scriptures down here just about that, where our words having impact. Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs 16:21, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, healing to the bones. Matthew 15:18. But the things that come out of a person's mouth comes from the heart, and these defile them. James 3:6-10 says, a tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that defiles the whole body, setting on fire a course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind beast and birds and the serpents and things in which the sea is tame has been tame of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of David, of similitude of God, not David, the similitude of God. And out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. The tongue, the words, and these are just a few scriptures. I encourage you to write them down, go back over them, read on them, meditate on them. Our words have impact. Our impact can be bad, it could be good. Here David is under a verbal attack that was affecting him physically, mentally, and spiritually. I want to tell you, my friend, in this life, especially as a disciple, a true follower of Jesus Christ in this world, you will be under a verbal attack one way or the other. And of course, this verbal attack can lead to physical attack. And now some of you already may have been experiencing this verbal attack, even physical attack for your faith. And if you're not, I want to tell you, a time is coming. As we draw closer to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we will be verbally attacked. That will increase. Oh, it will increase here in America. We think we are separate from the rest of the world. God's about to show us we're not. His hand is about to be removed more. Because America is riddled with another gospel. And for the last, I would say, man, last 100 years, this false gospel has just increased and increased. Before I was even born. The more I study, the more I cry over our nation. And when I look at what it's just getting worse. And only way that God can truly get America's attention to come back, if we even have, we may be too far gone, even when truly we are under such much, under when He removes His hedge, His hand on America, people still may not even come to the true faith. I know that is extreme, and this message won't be received very well because people thinking that, oh yes, God, no, there is a perversion of the gospel that is so embedded in America, a delusion that I see, and that if you truly are a study of God's word, you will see it too. I just don't believe there's too much coming back from that. I could be wrong. I pray that I am. A gospel that's a false gospel is preaching that you can come to Christ and everything will be okay. You will not suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. No, no. God won't let that happen to you. You start hearing these salvation messages that are being proclaimed and preached within our churches, and it doesn't hint or denote anything about suffering for the name of Jesus Christ, because that don't sell. But what are these preachers doing? Maybe knowing or in knowing or not knowing, but they're still being used by Satan to propagate a slaughter among those that think they know who Jesus Christ is and they truly don't. To come to Christ is to say, I will suffer greatly. To come to Christ is saying, I have counted the cost. Even if it's meaning I will lose everything and end up on the streets in a cardboard box while people drive by and spit on me, I will serve the Lord. That ain't being proclaimed. Health, wealth, prosperity. It comes out of their mouth and is a stink to a holy God. What about our brothers and sisters over there in Iran, in Iraq, China, suffering? They look, but look at America with her nose stuck up in the air, sniffing her own scent, which they think it smells like roses, but it's really of crap, estrogent. That's the stink. Oh, we need to call these people out. We need people proclaiming the true message. Even though we will not receive very well, we keep pressing on. If this is my only platform to preach on until the very end, so be it. I'm okay with that. But God knows my heart. I will preach at any church that has me. And I will preach a message just like this, because it needs to be heard. You will, coming to Christ will be under a verbal attack. It will increase in America. It's not about if it will. And this could lead to physical attack or some form of imprisonment. You may think I'm crazy. You may not think about this. But I guarantee you it's coming. And you one day, if we still have access to the internet and you're listening to this message, and maybe I'm gone, maybe they already throw me in jail, maybe they have taken my life at that point in time, and I pray this site is still up and you hear this, and it clicks. But you will be under attack. Here, the churches in America, we are spoilt. Most of the churches here, they've been and still keep watering down the salvation message, and they will do until the coming of Jesus Christ. They're light on talking about sin. They barely talk about hell, if they even talk about it, and even about suffering for the name of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you right now, I am not a prophet. I don't profess to be a prophet. I am just a messenger of God, a messenger of God to give a message like this. And I promise you this message will fall on deaf ears, because these messages do not tickle majority ears here in America. Once again, we will suffer greatly. I believe America will fall, and great will be her fall. And we need to prepare ourselves for this. Those that say they are children of God, we need to wake up, stop listening to these feel-good messages that lift us up, and not to the Almighty God who created the heavens and the earth. We need to humble ourselves and prepare our heart for hard times that will rock all of us. One of those things is, you understand, verbal attacks can lead to physical attacks will come on us. But let me ask you, maybe you've experienced a verbal attack because of your faith. What do you do? Here, the psalmist helps us out by answering this for us. Listen to this first verse. It says, O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all that persecute me, and deliver me. David looks at this, a verbal attack on him. It's causing him a lot of stress. And what does he do? He cries out, O Lord my God. I want to tell you, my friend, without Jesus, we are most miserable. We serve a God who cares, and how he understands that we will be under verbal attacks. How many people from Genesis now have raised their fists up to God and cursed him, attacking him? Just look at our entertainment today, where they find pleasure in cussing God and Jesus Christ. And many of us, when we are mad, what do we do? Maybe not even thinking about it. We curse God because we have a condition. We've been conditioned to use God's name as a cuss word. Every time when we are verbally attacking God, the one who knows us before we were in our mother's womb, the God who made the heavens and the earth, the God who sent his only begotten Son to this earth so we can have a choice to come to him and not perish from the flames of hell. His grace and mercy is beyond my mind. And if we're honest, his grace and mercy is beyond your mind. We deserve hell, not heaven. We deserve the torment to die a painful death. We deserve the cross and the torment that come along with the sentence as they did in the Romans' time. Our Jesus Christ had no sin, but he chose to give his life up so we can have the opportunity to come to him, to escape the flames of hell. Oh yes, God understands verbal attacks and how these verbal attacks can lead to physical attacks. They crucified Jesus Christ, who is God, the one who loves us more than anyone in this world. David knew that God loves him, and that His love will not fail. God's love will not fail. David knew he could fail, but he served a God that would not fail him. A God that will correct him. A God that will direct him. He's looking at this situation, and he's not looking at himself. He's looking and he said, God, I'm crying out for relief. And he continues in here in Psalm 7 verse 1. He said, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. He's putting this situation and all that speaking evil against him in the hands of God. He's taking it out of his hands and saying, here it is, God. You got this. Speaking personally this to me, this is hard. When I am being verbally attacked for my faith, Jonathan Ritter wants to fight back with words. Even with my fists, I am a fighter. My flesh wants to react in a negative way. I know this is not right. And God is still working on me. And I've got better. But what really helps me is to think of Scripture. When I'm being under attack for my faith. And I was thinking of 1 Peter 3. 9 through 14. And I wrote this from the NASB. The Bible. It says, do not return evil for evil. Or insult for insult. But on the contrary, a blessing, because to this you were called, that you might inherit a blessing. Words do have power, my friend. Words do have power. Continues to, for whoever would love life and see good days must keep the tongue from evil and the lips from speaking deceit. Must turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and follow after it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His eyes turn to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against evildoers. Now who is going to harm you if you are enthusiasts for what is good? But even if you should suffer because of righteous, blessed are you. Do not be afraid or terrified with fear of them. I'm going to tell you. I want to tell you to respond the way that you're being treated is easy, right? You're catering to your flesh. And some of you hearing this, you can relate. Because it's easy to flow with the flesh. But when we're going against the flesh, this will be challenging. But we don't do this alone. We got the Holy Spirit that helps us along as long as we get out of the way, right? We can get in the way. But when you say, God, here it is, I give it to you. We don't go back and we don't pick it back up. A lot of times we say we give it to Him, but guess what? What happens? We worry more about it. We ponder more about it. We truly have not given it to God because we're still focused on it. Truly, when we give it to God, you have it. Now, I'm not saying don't pray over it. We have family members that we love and we know they're lost. If they died tonight, they would go to hell, and we pray over them. But we don't sit there and every waking hour or day we worry about them, that causes us anguish. No, when we give it to God, we say, here it is, God. You are, I pray over. Of course, and you guys know I pray over my little sister. She's lost. She dies tonight. She's going to hell. I pray over her. I don't constantly worry about her that causes me issues. I pray, Lord, you I put her in your hands, God. You deal with her. And then I go on about my day and I pray for somebody else, or and I'm seeking God's word. I don't let them thoughts haunt me and define me. I don't worry myself sick to death about my loved ones. I give them to God because I love them. And I pray, God, you deal with them. And then I move on. And then throughout the day, I may think of their name again. And I'll pray over. Lord, I pray over whoever that comes to mind. Lord, lift them up. God, I don't know what's going on in their life, but I know that you do, and I just, my heart is yearning that you, in their situation, you just work through it. And I go on, read my Bible, learn scripture, memorize scripture, and I keep pressing on. But if we try to put it in our own power, we're operating in our flesh, we will fail every time. But David here, he's seeing his situation is hard. But what does David say? I put my trust. I give it over to you, God. This distress I am, I give it over to you. Save me from all them, persecute me, and deliver me. This first verse just sets everything up for the rest of the psalm. He's giving it over to God. He could have responded in the flesh, but he chose not to. He chose to do what? Trust the Lord, and the Lord will deliver him. Listen to verse 2 through 5. In Psalm 7, he says, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, he's crying out again, if I have done this, if there be any iniquity in my hands, if I reward evil unto them that were at peace with me, yea, I've delivered them that without cause is my enemy. Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay my honor in the dust. Shelah. He, take note that he cries out to the Lord again. And he's also here, I want you to get this, that he's also doing a self-examination. He's seeing if he is at fault. And I can tell you this can be hard, but we should pray that God examines our heart and see if we're at fault. And this is intense. Just listen to what he says here. Take these words in. He's saying, I tear my soul like a lion. He's referring here to Cush the Benjamite, which I believe was being led by Saul. And Cush was being spearheading, so he is being led by Saul, and guess what? They're all being led by Satan, the spiritual enemy. He said, ridding it in pieces while there is none to deliver. He said, and he cries out, Lord, have I done this? He's looking at the self-examination. Lord, have I done this? Is there any iniquity? Am I at fault, God? And if I reward evil, that he said, I operate in flesh that was at peace with me. Yea, did I do this? And I have delivered them without cause as my enemy. And then he, in verse 5, just listen, he says, let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. This is extreme. Saul said, if I've done this, let them take me. Let them tread me down my life up on the earth and lay my honor to the dust. What is David doing? He's doing this self-examination, and we are supposed to do a self-examination. Our words have impact, right? Those that we surround ourselves with, those that we interact on a daily basis, our word has impact. We should be cautious how we speak to those from our family, to our co-workers, to our friends, or to that stranger on the street. Our words have impact. Our words can create us enemies. Now, if you're speaking the word of God to them and they become your enemy, then you are not at fault. But if you're speaking in your flesh, you're operating in your own power, not in the authority of Scripture, and you've created that enemy that way, you are at fault. And that's what David's saying. He's examining himself and saying, am I at fault, God? Have I done this to myself? Do I deserve this correction? If I do, Lord, let it be. Your will be done. And these words in verse 5 is strong. To me, when I look at it, it's a push toward them killing him. He's okay if he has done this for them to physically kill him. And it's like here he's crying out for this physical death because these verbal attacks are hard. I don't tell you, verbal attacks can be intense. I can't help but think of that old song that, and you may have heard it, and we used to sing it when I was a kid in school, and it says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but your words will never hurt me. What a lie. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. But if you're speaking the word of God and you're creating enemies, you will have them. But if you're speaking words that is from yourself, a quick way, guys, to prevent this is to draw close to Jesus through the studying of His Word, to the meditating of His Scripture, to the daily praying of your life, praying without ceasing, having Scripture in your mind and just pressing on. The more we draw closer to Him, the less likely we operate in ourself and our flesh. And when we speak through the Holy Spirit that gives us words of life that we speak into someone's life. We need the self-examination, and this was David here. He's doing the self-examination. And I believe as we continue to read through this, the self-examination exposed that he was not at fault here. He was not guilty of these attacks. Listen to the rest of these scriptures. Verse 6. And we'll read it all the way down to 17. We're already almost at an hour mark here. I didn't want to do a breakdown of two or three parts of this. So we'll go through this. It'll be over an hour. Probably a little bit of hour and 30 minutes. Extra 30 minutes on this, maybe. But he says, arise, O Lord, in thy anger. Lift up thyself because of the rage of my enemies. Awake for me to the judgment thou hast commanded. This is just, when you start hearing this language, after this self-examination, it's a shift. He said, arise, O Lord, in thy anger. He's saying, Lord, I'm putting all this in your hands. I didn't do this. My flesh, I am not guilty of this. I'm giving it over to you, God. I didn't let my flesh cause this. He said, arise, O Lord, in thy anger. Lift up thyself because of the rage of my enemies. Wait for me the judgment thou hast commanded. So shall the congregation of the people compass me about for thy sake. Therefore, return thy on high. The Lord will judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my iniquity that is in me. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to and end, but establishes just for the righteous. God tries the hearts and the reins. My defense is of God, which saved the upright in heart. God judged the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whip his sword. He has bent his bow. He has made it ready. He has also prepared for them the instructions of death. He ordained his arrows against the persecutor. Behold, he travailed with iniquity and has conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. He had made a pit and dug it. And is fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and the violence dealing shall come down upon his own path, or his own path. And I will praise the Lord according to his righteous, and I will sing praise to the Lord of the name of the Lord Most High. I believe David at this point understood I'm giving this over to you, God. David knew in his anger his words would have failed. But the anger of God, and God does have anger, would not fail. He knew that God has a righteous and a just anger. And God will deal with this situation the right way. Simply put, God, take this out of my hands. Yes, I said, look at me, God. Did I do this? Then judge me. Correct me. Guide me. Get me on the right path. Give me strength to endure. David gives this over to God. He knows God will rightly deal with these verbal attacks. I love how David says in verse 9, God tries the heart and the reins. Those are involved in attacking David here. They need to be rescued from their wickedness too. God has mercy for sinners. He does not want anyone to burn in hell. He will reach into their hearts and their reins of their life to expose their wickedness, so they will have the opportunity to come to him to be saved from everlasting damnation. I know I get impatient about God not coming back soon, but God reminds me that there is still souls that need more time to come to him. So the pain and sorrows of his life, that we may, as children of God, disciples of the one true holy God, we may have endured in this brief period of time, the verbal tax or the physical tax, is nothing compared to a soul that will be tormented for the rest of his or her life. We need to keep this in mind if we're being under verbal tax for his name's sake. That we endure, we continue. Because that soul out there that is lost, he or she needs to come to Jesus Christ. Can't help but think of Romans 9, 1 through 3 says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have a great heaviness and continued sorrow in my heart. For I could wish myself were accursed from Christ for my brother, my kinsman, according to the flesh. Paul here is saying out loud his heaviness for the loss. He says in verse 3, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brother. He's saying, I wish I could give my life for them so they will not go to hell. He's, I'm crying out to them. That is powerful. He's using his words to reach in. To their lives. He's preaching the salvation message to those. And he's saying this. And if you read through Paul and you hear the salvation message, he's preaching the crucified life. He's preaching Jesus Christ dying on that cross. He's preaching him rising from the dead. He's preaching this mercy and this grace that we see and true love that God demonstrated through his Son to a world that greatly need to be rescued. He speaks about our sin. He speaks about the repentance of our sins. He preaches on about living a separate life from this world. See, when we truly come to Christ, we want to be separate from this world. We want to strive to be different from this world. We seek him. We count the cost, and we're okay with that. We're okay with attacks that may come for our faith, and we keep pressing on. Our words that when we let the Holy Spirit pour through us, the words we speak are the words to the gospel, to a lost generation that needs to hear the word of God that is not watered down by the majority of the popular preaching here in America, that water it down, that paints this picture that you will not suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you today, we need to emphasize the suffering for his name. Oh, how we have dropped that for the last 100 years. I'm not saying all preachers, and that would be impossible to say. I'm saying the majority of the mainstream preachers that people know and that praise, they have dropped the ball on preaching that you will suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. They have dropped the ball on that we are supposed to live a life separate from this world. They dropped the ball on saying that we sin in our life should break our hearts from what we watch to what we read to how we where the places we go. If they're not pointing to Christ, should we be doing those things? Not popular, but I want to tell you, I may preach, before it's all said, done, 1,000 sermons. And if only one person comes, truly comes to Jesus Christ, that's worth it. One that say, I truly, whatever this life may hold, if it's verbal attacks that cause my soul anguish for the cause of Christ, I accept it. If it's a physical attack, I accept that. If it's me being thrown in jail, I accept that. I am all in. It's worth it. But I can tell you today, because of the internet, you can listen to sermons galore. These messages are mass majority is not being preached or not being taught. And we're in trouble. And I believe because of this watered down version of the gospel, I don't see it slowing down. And God has to take extreme measures to try to awaken this perversion up here in America. We are guilty, and the suffering that's coming, the more suffering. People think COVID's bad. You ain't seen nothing yet. Embrace yourself. Watch when the next pandemic hits. And all these people that are professing healing ministries, I've seen it with COVID, they shut their churches down because they're truly not in it. They're wearing masks in their church. Now they're all running around cocky with their heads up. They weren't cocky a few years ago. They think because you can follow their ministries online, we should be careful. A lot of them shouldn't be putting stuff on social media because it's just fire against them. And they're sitting there proclaiming a healing ministry, but then when COVID rolls around, they're wearing a mask and walking around. You got problems. When they shut their churches down for months at a time, and then they're professing to be healing ministries, that they have the power of the Holy Spirit. You think the power of the Holy Spirit can't heal somebody that has COVID? Come on. You're professing to be a healing ministry. Come on. You're professing you have the power of the Holy Spirit to heal people. Come on. You got problems. You need to examine your life. Closing this out, our words have impact. Especially when we are being verbally and physically attacked by the enemy. For God. There's no doubt when you read through this whole psalm, Psalm 7, David is under intense verbal attack here by Cush the Benjamite. This affects him physically, mentally, and spiritually. But what did David do? He cries out to the Lord. Understand, if you're a child of God, we have a God who cares, who loves us, and who hears our plea. First thing David does is cry out to the Lord. He said, Lord, you know what I'm going through. Lord, I'm handing it over to you. And then he does this self-examination throughout this psalm. You can see it scattered through it. Did I do this, God? Did I operate in my flesh? That's what he's saying. Did David understood that he will be under attack for God's name, and he is okay with that. What he's not okay is, did he operate? Because you gotta realize David was a man. He had that flesh nature, meaning David had problems. He had issues, and if you go through the study of David and Saul, you'll see that David had problems. He had issues. He was dealing with his flesh, and here he's recognizing his flesh could get in the way, and he's looking at, did I do this because of my own doing? And we need to get there. We need to understand, did I do this to myself? And when we get there and we look at it, we pray, Lord, if I've done this, forgive me. This is a repentance. This is a cry. He's crying out to God. He's singing this, crying out to God. I'm in distress. Did I do this to myself? If it's for your will, so be it. But did I do this, Lord? And if I'm just handing it all over to you, and then you can see throughout the Psalms, that this Psalm that he's giving it to the God who is just, who is holy, that will judge rightly. He will judge David. He will judge that Cush, he will judge Saul, he will judge all that's involved. He hands it over, and he hands it over to God. And God, so be it. Whatever it may be, David accepted that. He did that self-examination. And I believe in this case that it wasn't doing to his flesh. It was doing because he was a child of God, and he was trying to do what's right. And these attacks are coming because this is just, I didn't get on the spiritual aspect of this because I was trying to keep this sharpened down. So I didn't get to the spiritual aspect of my notes on this. But he's recognizing the spiritual war that's around him, this battle that's raging, the light and the goodness. And I've had a ton of messages on spiritual warfare, but he's also recognizing that spiritual war there, that battle, and he's handing it over to the one that holds, that is the most powerful, the Lord of hosts, the one that is the ultimate warrior. I'm giving it to you. And you can also look through the Psalms and see these spiritual warfare there's a sort of warfare theme going on here when he's speaking of God and how he is the bow, right, and the sword. I believe it's the sword. I didn't get to that part, but David's looking at all that. Yes, verse 12 says, "If he turn not, he will wind his sword, and he will bend his bow, and he will make it ready." I mean, he's giving it to the ultimate warrior God that's fighting for us. And he said, "I give this over to you." And the point of this is to recognize our words have impact. So we need to understand, are we operating in our flesh? Or are we operating in the spirit? We examine our life. And when we do that, and trust me, if you really open your heart to God, and you're truly seeking a answer, is it I, God? Did I do this? You will get your answer. You may not like your answer. And we have to live, not popular, not being preached on in majority of your denominations in America. We have to live in our consequences that we made. Doesn't mean God abandons us. God gives us strength to endure. We are supposed to learn from our mistakes, from our sin, our sins. And that's what David here, he's doing the self-examination. He's saying, is it I? Did I do this? And he just hands it over to God. And he says, I'm giving you my heart. I'm giving it. I'm open to wherever you have decided. And I will yield to that. And I will walk in that. And that's what we really get in that last verse in Psalm 7. What does he say? He said, or 17. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness. And will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. He closes this out saying, I will trust you. I will praise you regardless how the situation turns out. Yes, I'm physically, mentally, mentally and spiritually is challenging me, but I will trust you, Lord. I don't know if you're going through something in your life today or this month or whatever, your lifetime, that is challenging you. I want to tell you, give it to God. Pray for his words to come through your mouth, and not the angry of your flesh to those that are causing you pain that is intense. Give it to God. Praise him and press on. Remember, this life is only temporary. Such a speck on eternity. To let those that have caused you pain to control your life with their actions, their words. They want to speak death and evil in our life, as Cush was doing here to David, as Goliath was doing to Saul, his army. But we, as children of God, we have words of life. Life and death in the tongue. And I pray that you choose to speak life to those that are hurting you. When they show up, give them the gospel. Give them the love of Jesus Christ. But love them with truth. And part of that truth is to tell them about hell and sin. If they hate you for that, then so be. They're hating the true God that gave him life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to just get into your word. Lord, help me as I study through Psalms. Sometimes my words fail me, but Lord, let your word, let the scripture speak louder. Let those that hear the scripture go back to the scripture, highlighted in their Bible, and go back over each word and pray over that scripture and pray, Lord, that they cling to your words. Or this old preacher's words. That they cling to your word. And they let your word guide them and direct them in the path of righteousness and holiness. That they cling to your word to guide them and direct them through the situations, the challenges that they may be facing right now or will be facing. Let your words, your word, strengthen them and give them boldness. As this world keeps intensifying and will intensify, especially here in America, for those speaking the truth of your word. God, I pray, Lord, you guide us and direct us. Pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. Love you guys. We definitely went over the hour mark, but it's all right. Normally do go over the hour mark, but I really didn't want to break this down into two, three parts, which I could easily have done, especially the spiritual warfare aspect of it. But I really didn't think God really wanted me to go into that on this one. Once again, you guys can reach out if you through me through Facebook. That's the fastest way you can reach me. You can PM me, private message me that way. Any questions that you may have. Once again, this website has a email, so you, if you do email me, just put Crucified for Christ Ministry in the subject heading. So if it does go to spam, I'll be able to get it. It's only me that runs this ministry. Of course, the Holy Spirit through me, so I don't have a secondary or anything like that, or assistant. This is self-funded. By me, and thank God for a good job that I can pour money into the ministry, this little ministry, which is big in God's eyes, but compared to big ones around, it's just little. But love you guys. Once again, you can reach out to me. Some of you guys have my phone number, so you can call me or text me. Those that PM me and message me after interacting with you, if you do, and we interact for some time, I will ask you questions about salvation and things like that, because that's very important for me, to understand that you understand what the salvation message is, not a watered down version that's being proclaimed here, especially here in America. So I love you guys. Y'all have a good rest of your, if you're listening to this in the weekend, this weekend, or if you're listening through the week, your week, pray that you just keep enduring, keep pressing on, knowing that one day this life is not even going to be a glimpse in your mind. If you truly are a child of God, it will be beyond your thoughts, because when we're in heaven with our Father, that's going to be a beautiful thing. And all the pain and suffering, especially for the cause of Christ, the verbal tax, the physical tax, ain't gonna mean nothing compared to what He has for us. All right, y'all have a good rest of your day or night. And until we meet again, bye.